Welcome to After Dark, Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. I am one of the hosts, Rob, and my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Heather, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing good. Heather, what can I say? Spring is in the air. So far, New York has been pleasantly nice. I see a lot of people milling about. This past weekend was St. Patrick's Day, and I got to tell you, I saw more people out this St. Patrick's Day than I have ever seen out in a long time. I would say going back to COVID, pre-COVID. There were so many people out milling about, and I don't know, I guess they were just happy to be able to get out and be amongst friends. Did you happen to see any of the festivities that took place?
Well, actually, I was in Pennsylvania, Rob, and here I have to say it was very cold St. Patty's Day, but we had a nice time, and you know, it was with friends. We had corned beef and cabbage, and it was one of the better St. Patty's Days of recent memory.
Oh, good, good. I love corned beef and cabbage. I tried to make it once, and I wasn't successful. successful at all. But I love that. I love it. Well, you know, we have a lot to talk about tonight. A lot has been taking place in the new cycle. Week. Oh, yeah. And I just want to jump into it. And one of the things that I want to cover, and we've talked about this before on the show, the relationship of Israel and America, the conflict in Israel. But I was rather surprised last week when the ranking senator, Chuck Schumer, stood on the floor of the Senate and said that it was time that Israel had another election or have an election and get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu, the current prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was shocked because Schumer is Jewish. And when Biden was asked about the statement that he made, Biden said, "I didn't see anything wrong with it." And we've spoken about Biden before. Even his stance on Israel has changed. This entire administration's position on Israel has changed. And it didn't happen overnight. I think we saw some of this during the Obama years. I think that of all the presidents in recent history, Obama might have been the worst in terms of relationship with Israel. I don't know why, but he detested, it seems, Benjamin Netanyahu. Fast forward to Donald Trump, definitely the best friend of Israel. And I find it interesting that people try to say that he is anti-Semitic. Even someone even came out and tried to say that he made an anti-Semitic statement when he said that if you're Jewish and if you're voting for Democrats, Trump says Jews who vote for Democrats hate Israel and their religion. I personally saw nothing wrong with it because I've said the same thing about Blacks. If you're voting for Joe Biden, you don't like other Blacks. Black lives don't matter. Because for Democrats, the only time Black lives matter is when a white person kills a Black person. But every day, every weekend we see in Chicago, Blacks are being slaughtered in the streets. And the Democrats do nothing about it. Recently, there was an 11-year-old kid who was killed by his mother's former boyfriend when he was trying to protect his mom. Blacks have come out to say nothing about it. So when I heard this statement from Trump, I'm like, okay, and you're making, they're all up in arms over that statement. But what Chuck Schumer said, it's okay. And Heather, we see this on a daily basis. They're not trying to hide it. They being the Democrats, they're not trying to hide their disdain for Israel. They're not trying to hide their disdain for anyone who doesn't agree with their warped agenda. But yet and still, people are putting Biden up on a pedestal, a man who's clearly suffering from dementia, a man who doesn't know what he's doing, and who is destroying, I'll say it again, destroying our country, has weaponized our justice system. And it's like people are like, oh, okay, what's next? What are your thoughts, Heather?
Yeah, I heard about what Trump said, and I think it's a harsh, harsh statement, but he tends to exaggerate for effect. And it is my view that a Jew really has to support Israel, Rob. I mean, to put it simply, how can a Jew, a Jewish American, any Jew, not support Israel? After the Holocaust, after we saw the horror, the wholesale slaughter and attempted annihilation of our people. And I know some people, they don't like hearing about it. They think Jews talk too much about the Holocaust, but you know what? If God forbid, whoever you are, somebody slaughtered literally millions of your people for no reason, absolutely no reason. I mean, there's hardship and suffering all over the world, but we know that this was an attempt at annihilation. It was a maniacal hatred obsession. We're seeing a version of it now with the Islamist extremist world that wants to annihilate Israel. They make no secret of that. And it's a very, very big deal. And it should be. And we have to defend ourselves. I mean, there's room for discussion and for wrangling over how best to do that. But the bottom line is everyone knows Israel has bloodthirsty enemies that have declared their intent to destroy it. October 7th was an unprovoked, absolutely vicious, sadistic attack, a mass scale atrocity attack on civilians. I mean, I don't see how any Jew could fail to support Israel's self-defense. Now, I've said before, so basically, I wouldn't go so far as Trump as to say that Jews who don't support it hate themselves. I think that they are not being realistic about what we're facing. Somebody's got to defend Jewish people in the world, and Israel's the front line, so you can criticize all you want, but I mean, it's kind of like saying defund the police. I mean, you can take issue with police methods or instances of police brutality. You can try to reform things, but the reality is, like even Bernie Sanders said, there's no country in the world that's ever existed, and functioned as a civilized country without a police force. Similarly, every country needs defense, and Israel is under siege. So to oppose Israel's basic self-defense, you're not being a good Jew. I'm sorry, but that said, I think those of us who don't, and believe me, most Jewish people and Israelis hate war. We hate it. We don't want to have to support it. We want to live in peace. We are a religion of life. That's why Jews toast l'chaim. When we raise a glass, there's nothing more intrinsic to our religion than family, than the protection of children. And it is a horror to have to go to war because it means that, innocents will die. And that's not what any of us wants. I really believe that. So I think those people who are criticizing Israel, I wish they would put heads together and try to do something. Maybe there's some way to help evacuate Palestinian children, for instance. I would support that. Nobody's trying to hurt them, but we know that Hamas intentionally contrived this situation, conducted mass scale atrocities, and ran back, as it always does, to hide among children, hospitals, homes. They're purposely doing this. They want to rack up the death toll. That said, I read today in the Wall Street Journal that of the 30,000 Palestinians killed, 13,000 of them are confirmed Hamas terrorists. So, Israel is trying hard to target the people who did this, who want to annihilate us. But I wouldn't sit here and tell you that there aren't innocents being killed. Of course there are. It's very sad. It's not what we want. I just wish that the international left, I mean, I don't believe these people are really humanitarians, or I think they would be trying to come up with a plan to save the children. And they would be demanding release of the hostages too, because everybody knows this could stop. I mean, where, as you've said, Rob, where are the demands on Hamas? Why is it only Israel? You know, if we're really concerned about civilian life, why aren't we saying, you know, okay, Hamas, stop it. Just stop it. Give back their people. For the sake of our people, stop it, and Israel, stop it. You know, that's the humanitarian position, not just, oh, Israel's committing a genocide, as if there was no October 7th, as if Hamas doesn't deliberately target civilians for torture and hold civilians. That whole claim that this is happening for no reason is a lie. You know, whoever you are, you may think it's excessive, okay, you know, but don't pretend that it happened out of nowhere. That's just a lie. And that's what the left is doing. And they need to, if they really care, think about calling on Hamas as well to stop this.
Because Chuck Schumer certainly hasn't called on Hamas, and Benjamin Netanyahu, his response to Chuck Schumer's statement is that you have a democratic country trying to interfere with the election of another democratic country to tell the democratic country you need to remove the person who's in charge, which is similar to what the U.S. is doing here. And that's the reason why what's happening to Trump, the media and Democrats are making it seem as if though, oh, it's no big deal. These people are dangerous. They are the threat to democracy. When you have Chuck Schumer saying that a democratic country should overthrow its leader, I mean, he's in essence backstabbing Benjamin Netanyahu with words, with his own words. You should remove him. Now, has he once called for Hamas to disband, a call for the leaders of Hamas to be overthrown or removed? Has he said that about Iran? No, he was against the Obama administration giving Iran the money, the billions of dollars that we held. But has he come out and denounced any of this? No. He's going along to fit in. And even Nancy Pelosi came out and said that she thought that there was nothing wrong with the statement. We said this before in our last show, last week. This is not the Democrat Party of our parents or grandparents. It's not the Democrat Party of Bill Clinton or Obama. This Democrat Party has become so radicalized, has become so entrenched with these radical ideas that they're trying to push forward. And God forbid if Joe Biden wins a second term. God forbid if Joe Biden steps aside and some other radical Democrat steps in place. We're on the edge of falling over. For a U.S. senator to come out and to say this about Israel, who does he want to take Benjamin's place? Someone from Hamas? They don't care. It's all about the election. And for Chuck Schumer, a senior senator, to come out and say this, who are they trying to appease? The small group of Muslims in Michigan? I mean, for him to come out and say that, I was completely shocked, Heather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was lousy.
It was, I'm like, what exactly, who is he trying to appease? Or it was so unbecoming,
yeah,
of a senator. But yet and still, here we are with him making a statement and feeling that, you know, hey, people are going to support me. And as I said, Joe Biden came out and said, I heard there was nothing wrong with the statement that he made. There was nothing wrong with it at all. So this is a message that he's sending to Hamas. Do whatever you please. We're okay with it. We support it. We don't care. Israel should stand down. Remember, Kamala Harris said that there is a plan on the table. Israel needs to accept it. They keep pushing for a ceasefire. No one is putting pressure on Hamas to put down its weapons. Chuck Schumer did not
No.
call out the leaders of Hamas. He didn't call out the guy in Qatar and say, "Hey, sir, you're killing innocent children. You're killing your own people. Why don't you release the hostages?" No one has said anything else about the hostages, but Chuck Schumer can stand on the floor of the Senate and just casually, and he didn't stumble, "Maybe we should rethink this. Maybe, Benjamin, it's time for them to have another election and get rid of him. Maybe he's not doing the things that we want him to do. He's still trying to hold on to power. He's still trying to protect the lives of the innocent Israelis that are there." So when Trump came out and made the statement, as harsh as it may seem or sound, I gotta say, Heather, I support him 100%. Because I think that we're at critical mass, and I think that people need to wake up. And I've said this before about the suburban moms who are, "Oh, we don't like Trump because of what he says and his tweets." Meanwhile, you look at the actions of Joe Biden, you look at what he's doing to destroy the country, you look at what he's doing to allow illegals to come in. And we catch them and we release them. You look at what they're giving them our taxpayer dollars. I say this to Black people. You guys are constantly saying, "Where are the reparations?" And then they tell you, "Oh, we're going to study it." But when it's time to give illegals money, they don't have to study it. They don't follow over it. They just hand out the money.
It is bizarre. It is
I mean,
bizarre.
billions of dollars so far has probably gone to illegals, but they keep telling Black people, "No, I don't believe in reparations now." But they keep telling them, "Oh, well, we're going to study this because we need to see. We're going to put like a 5-year
Right.
moratorium." But you can give illegals our taxpayer dollars, but you have to study something that you say that you're going to give to us in the form of reparations. Trump was right on the money when he said it. He was right on the money when he said to Black people in 2016 and 2020, "What do you have to lose by voting for me? What do you have to lose considering what the Democrats have done? I know this is harsh, but we've got to get serious." Now, we're up against a commercial break, but I want to pick this up on the other side of the commercial break because I hope people are understanding. Again, this is not the Democrat Party of the old. This is borderline terrorist activity, terrorist behavior. You listen to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Outlaw platform, and my guest host tonight, Heather Robinson. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. CofixRx has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the CofixRx banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
So Heather, coming back to the second half, I'm looking at the article that you sent me where Trump made his statement. And interestingly enough, Chuck Schumer condemns Trump for claiming Jews who vote for Democrats hate Israel. Now, I find that interesting. This is a man who's saying that they need to get rid of the prime minister, but now he wants to condemn Trump. Mm-hmm. And it was like clockwork, Heather. Everyone in the liberal media, they came out attacking Trump, saying that he's a Zionist, that he hates Jews, he's evil. I mean, all of these hateful things they were saying, but this man has a Jewish daughter, son-in-law, and grandchildren. The media won't say anything about that.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say that these people hate Israel and hate their religion. I think they're very naive. But I think what Trump is trying to say, you know, and he does employ hyperbole, but he's saying that Israel is in existential danger. He's saying the danger is looming. It's you know, to use a word the liberals like, it's scary. You know, I mean, they're scared of a lot of things. They're scared of global warming and COVID. I'm not saying there's absolutely nothing to be scared with those things, but the more immediate threat is you have a fanatical, totalitarian, wildly evil regime on the brink of nuclear capability. You have terrorists being funded by them. I'm talking about Iran. You have a leadership of America that's in some crazy sort of denial about this, to the point that we are releasing we're releasing funds to them. We are catering to Iran. We're letting them bomb our ships for months and doing hardly anything. It's like we're sleepwalking and they are the rising menace. And there's all of this, you know, concern about Russia and China, which I'm not saying is completely nothing to be concerned about, but I don't think either Russia or China is absolutely out of its mind the way these Iranians and Hamas and Hezbollah are. And so the more immediate threat is them, but it's like we're just asleep at the switch, Biden's denial. And so I think that when Trump says that Jewish people who are voting for this hate themselves and hate the country, you know, it's kind of like saying Americans who, I mean, it's an even more extreme situation than America's, because we know, sadly, our great country does seem to be in slow decline here, but we're not about to be destroyed. Israel, maybe. I mean, if Iran gets a nuke, I mean, if it, you know, so how could any Jew vote for an administration that is empowering and kowtowing and failing to confront this rising menace? I think that's what he's saying, and I do agree with him. I just would say I don't think my fellow Jews who are voting for Biden hate Judaism and the religion. I mean, I think they're just in denial.
In denial, but at the same time, it's a deadly denial, because as what's her name, Maya Angelou once said, when a person shows you who they are, believe them. Yeah. And I think this administration is clearly... Every day, they're not, as I said during the first block, Heather, they're not hiding what they're doing or saying. At one point, you would like speculate, well, did they say this? Did this actually happen? But when you have Biden, after the State of the Union speech, saying that he told Bibi, we need to have a come to Jesus moment, or something of that effect, and knowing that it's on a hot mic, and then he goes to Michigan to apologize, so to speak, for the deaths in this conflict. And he says nothing positive about Israel or the Jews that are being killed, slaughtered. His Secretary of State is almost nowhere to be seen. And when they are, it's almost as if though they're chastising Israel, but no one is saying anything about Hamas. This is a democracy. And you would think that they would come out and say, wait a minute, we need to protect this, our fellow democracy. But they're not. And I'm looking at this article that you had sent me, and it says, one guy said, President Trump is right. The Democrat Party has turned into full-blown anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, pro-terrorist cabal. That says a lot. And we have talked on this show, Heather, since October 7th, 2023, the horrible attack.
Yeah.
What's happening here? We had a guest to come on, a friend of yours, to talk about Hamas winning the propaganda war. We're sounding the alarms. Sammy, yes. We're sounding the alarms now. And while it seems rather innocuous, like, oh, it's no big deal, it is a big deal. If Hamas wins, that would be devastating for that region. God forbid if they were to win. If America falls, who does the rest of the world turn to? Biden does not care. And I would say that this is rooted in Barack Obama, who we saw recently across the pond. I don't think Barack, and I'm going to say this, I don't think he loves this country. He has benefited from the country. And because what he has benefited has put him in a position of a lot of means to have money, I don't think he could care less what happens to the rest of us. Because he's protected almost from everything that he has created. And you see that a lot of times with individuals with a lot of money. They're protected, so they don't necessarily care as to what's happening. And it's dangerous, Heather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. That's the limousine champagne liberals. And they have a lot of power, you know, for all the struggles of a lot of people in the country and the poor economy. There's a lot of wealth in this country still, Rob. It's a very rich country comparatively. I think I read somewhere that 6% of the adults in this country are millionaires. So, you know, I mean, that may include, you know, home ownership and stuff. But, you know, I mean, that's not 1% or 2%. That's a sizable portion of this country. Not sizable, but it's, you know, these people give a lot of money to political campaigns. And, you know, 6% of the country's basically wealthy people. I mean, that's nice, you know, on the one hand, that there's so much prosperity still, but it's as we know, the middle class is shrinking. And, you know, there's an underclass in this country. And there seems to be kind of an unholy alliance between the rich and the underclass, where it's like the rich just keep giving, you know, benefits and things to appease the underclass and supporting all this illegal immigration. As you said, it doesn't affect them directly. And it's like a weird dynamic. I spoke with someone once who compared it to like the nobles and the serfs in the Middle Ages. Like, it's this system where the people at the bottom are appeased by the people at the top, and the people at the top just kind of essentially benefit from this situation because, you know, they're very comfortable, they're insulated from the hardship. And, you know, it's complicated. I don't know quite how it works, but I know it's weird. And, you know, I mean, after all these decades of social programs, and I'm not against a safety net. You know, I think everybody needs help sometimes, but, you know, clearly if you have an underclass that hasn't moved, you know, its position at all, really, in like 40, 50 years of all this policy that's designed to help, you have to start wondering, is it helping or is it hurting? And then you have the whole illegal situation, which we know tends to be, I feel, something that a lot of liberals felt good about themselves for supporting. And, you know, I mean, I'm not vilifying these people. I think Trump was right when he said some of them are nice people. Some of them are just, you know, facing hardship at home. They're trying to give it a shot. But, you know, this open border has migrated all kinds of problems into our country. And, you know, it's also caused a lot of suffering and contributed to suffering. And some of us saw this years ago. But the liberals, you know, the left of this country was too busy patting itself on the back for being so humane and you know, letting in all the families. They weren't asking the tough questions about, you know, are these really all families? Are some of these children being trafficked? You know, that's the worst of it. But are criminals coming in? Are drugs coming in? Are gangs coming in? What about the people whose communities are flooded with crime and gangs and drugs and human trafficking? No, they weren't asking anything about that. They were turning a blind eye to all that, to their fellow Americans and to the suffering that was being facilitated and just feeling good about themselves because they were against separating families. Well, that sounds good, but it's just a slogan, and there are many worse things, as I've said, that can happen to a child than being temporarily separated from his or her family in a secure facility. You know, some of these children are being trafficked here, and no one is tracking them. So this was, to me, a classic case of, you know, the left feeling good about itself, championing an ideal, without digging into the nitty-gritty of what the real life problems are that are being worsened by their largesse. You know, that maybe they're kind of like the nobles who go around, you know, once a year on Christmas and, you know, give the starving peasants a cake and a party and feel good about themselves. But meanwhile, working conditions are abysmal. And I'm saying, you know, that's just a metaphor. My point is they're not on the border. They're not in the border towns. They're not serving in law enforcement. They're not, you know, dealing with women and children who've been raped and trafficked. They don't really know what they're talking about. And they like to champion this, you know, to be the gracious ladies and gents, you know, who say, let's open it all up to everyone. But, you know, now everybody sees that that's not realistic. So Trump, big bad Trump, who said, you know, Mexico's not sending its finest. They're sending their rapists and murderers. And some of these people are nice people. Basically, in his own blunt way, spoke the truth. We are not, you know, we're not trying to demonize. These are human beings. You know, most of them are fine enough. People who just want a shot, you know, that... But this is not a healthy policy. This country needs boundaries, just like every human being needs boundaries. And if these people care so much, you know, we saw what happened when the illegals were bused to their cities. Suddenly they don't like it. So it's just hypocrisy. And, you know, the time has come to, you know, bring some sanity back, some saner policy. I just hope we get it, Rob. I wish I were more optimistic about the coming election. I really do. But I think this country, a good portion of this country, is just sleepwalking.
And it's really dangerous. They're sleepwalking. And I try to be optimistic as well. But when I see things like this happening, Heather, you know, again, going back to a U.S. senator on the floor making these comments, and then you have other people that are coming out supporting him, our so-called president says that there's nothing wrong with it, and they're only trying to compete for a small sliver of a vote, a group of people in Michigan, trying to satisfy them, when you have an entire population, much more than that, who's given their votes to you time after time after time, and this is how you're going to treat them. And it just goes back to, I keep making the comparison, Heather, because you think about the Jewish people in the Holocaust, what they went through, and you think about when they were enslaved with the Egyptians. I think about Blacks who were enslaved, and I think about what they went through, you know, before the civil rights. And both groups keep giving the lion's share of their votes to the Democrats to get them elected, and they get nothing in return. And even more so now, and it's blatantly said, or openly said, you know, to the Jewish community almost, as if we don't care about you. You're going to vote for us. Shut up and just vote for us. I mean, that's what I was hearing from Chuck Schumer. I mean, like I said, he stabbed Benjamin Netanyahu in the back with his words by saying, well, it's time for this to get rid of him. Interfering with another election. And they're always complaining that Russia interfered with our election. Well, look at what you're doing with the Israelis. And we even saw this with Barack Obama. They said that he had sent an emissary group to Israel to when Benjamin Netanyahu was running at one point to try to change, sway that election. Now you have a U.S. senator on the floor of the Senate. It wasn't like a hot mic or someone overheard him say it, or he might have said it. He said this in speaking to the Senate. He made no quibbles about it. He didn't stutter. He didn't stumble. He came out and said it. Okay. To our one of our closest allies that we have always been in the trenches with, who's going through, who's fighting to survive against a terrorist group, and for him to make this statement simply because he will not bend the knee and say, well, we're going to stop firing, we're going to cease fire so that you guys can regroup and then come after us even stronger. He's going to make this statement. And I'm thinking, how could you? And then for Biden to say, oh, there was nothing wrong with it. And then you have other senators or representatives piling on saying, oh, no, there's nothing wrong. And then the moment Trump says what he says, oh, he's anti-Semitic. Oh, he's evil. And he's this. Maybe the words were too harsh. But in my opinion, again, he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes you have to be direct. Sometimes you have to give tough love to wake people up, to jar them, to say, look at what's happening. You're about to walk over a cliff. You need to change direction. These people don't like you. They're telling you. They only want your vote. You have got to wake up. And this is what I see with this Democrat Party. And they're not trying to hide it now. They don't care. For them, it's by any means necessary. We need to hold on to power. We will say what we want to say. We will do what we want to do as long as we're in control. Everyone else be damned. We don't care. And to me, that's exactly what Chuck Schumer said. And then for him to try to come out and attack Trump and say that Trump is anti-Semitic, I'm like, shame on you. But the media went along with it because they support this and they will keep supporting this. And it is time that we on the right who make sense start pushing back and saying, nope, we're not going to take it anymore. Because the more we roll over, they will continue to do this. The more we try to appease them, the more we try to make them like us. They don't like us. They will never like us. They don't want to like us. The only thing they want from us is for us to bend the knee. And if we don't bend the knee, it's off with their heads. We don't care. We're going to steamroll right over them. We don't care who we hurt as long as our agenda is out front. To me, that is a harsh reality. It doesn't sound nice. It might be bitter, but it's something that we have to accept. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform with my co-host tonight, Heather Robinson. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutLoud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
So we're back with the last half of the show, and I'm going to continue, finish up talking about this Chuck Schumer, what he said. I just find it just hard to believe that he would make such a statement, Heather, but he did. And we can't pretend as if though it didn't happen. He tried to dress it up. Some people tried to say, well, he really didn't mean it. Nope. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And we have to accept it and face the harsh reality. Again, this is not the Democrat Party of yesteryear. This is a new party with a different agenda, different direction. And for the most part, they don't care. They're going to say whatever they want to say just to get back in the White House and to keep the Senate and the House, try to win the House. So it is what it is. Now, I want to move on to some other topics, Heather, some other news that's taken place. One of the things that stood out to me is, I'll mention this since we're talking about doom and gloom. Elon Musk says that America is doomed without a red wave in 2024. What do you think about that, Heather?
Well, I think you may be right, but I'm not sure very many people are listening, Rob.
That's scary. And I think the same thing. But Heather, let me ask, are they not listening, or it can't get out there? This truth can't get out there for the simple fact that the mainstream media, which is predominantly liberal, won't allow it to get out there. I've worked in a newsroom before, and everyone there are liberals. And they would try to hide it, but now they don't even try to hide it. It's out front and center. Their ideas, giving their thoughts, them shaping the news to the way they want it, spinning it the way they want it. So Elon Musk used to be a favorite of theirs, and now they didn't even like him ever since he bought Twitter and turned it into X. So when I read this, Elon Musk says America's doomed without a red wave. Now, by no means, he said that he's not going to give to any political party. He's saying that now, not to Biden or to Trump. He's not going to vote for Trump.
Oh, really? Well, then why is he?
Exactly.
Kind of reduces a little bit of his credibility there. I mean,
to say this, and it's like, well, I'm not going to vote for him. I get people can't stomach Trump because of the personality, but I always go back to look at the policy, look at his policies, look at what he said and what he did. Whereas if you look at what the Democrats are saying and what they're doing, they're saying one thing and they're doing it. They don't care, because they have managed to indoctrinate the American people. They have managed to control the media. I mean, they are really controlling the message that's out there. Right now, before the Supreme Court, there's an argument between, I think, the Attorney General of Missouri and Louisiana about what happened during COVID, and that if can the White House, a government, contact social media and tell them what to print, what to control, and what not to. Now, to me, the answer is an immediate absolutely not, because then you're working on a censored state. You don't have free speech. Your government is telling you what to think, what you can hear, and what you can't. Now, some of the liberal judges, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it or not, Heather, the arguments, but some of the liberal judges, especially Ketanji Brown Jackson, Her, the way she was questioning was that, well, why can't the government do this in a time of crisis? Why can't the government go in and tell the media, social media, well, don't put this there and put this there? And I was shocked by her line of questioning, because if the government prevails in this instance, if they're allowed to do it, it's over. It's over. It is over, because whoever gets into power, they will be able to control what we think and what we see. I don't think the social media should be protected under section, I think it's 230 or 330. I don't think they should have that. I think they should lose that protection, because they're functioning like a utility company and like the media. We should be able to sue them. What they did when Trump was in office was completely beyond the pale. So I don't think the protection that they're looking for, they should have it.
Mm-hmm.
So you, and then you look at,
Rob, I haven't followed that case so much. The I saw that the Supreme Court actually though did uphold the governor of Texas's right to to send illegals back, I believe. So
right. No, initially they said that they couldn't. This was yesterday. They said they couldn't do it. I think it was Justice Alito said that we need to review it. And I thought, are you serious? And then they came back and said that they can detain and they could send them back. And here's my position, because we can talk about that as well, the Supreme Court. When they came out and they ruled for Trump, well, they didn't rule for Trump. They ruled for the American people in the Colorado case when they were trying to boot him off the the primary. Now, Colorado is not going to, Trump is not going to win Colorado, I don't think, during the general. He could now. So I kept thinking, like, why do you guys want to kick him off the ballot when you know that Colorado is blue and come November, they're not going to vote for him? But it didn't matter. They felt that, hey, we're going to do it because of insurrection. And then the Supreme Court came back and said, no, you can't do it. Some people were of the mind that what was happening was that the Supreme Court was trying to give one. They were trying to like keep score and say, okay, we're going to let Trump win this one. And then the next one, we'll let the Democrats win. You know, like an old even Steven type deal. And I thought, I'm like, if that's at play, then the Supreme Court has reduced itself to a nothing body, because that should not be the approach. It should be the rule of law. Plain and simple, the rule of law. And you can't say, well, we're going to give him a win here because later on we're not going to give him a win. No, it doesn't work that way. But the media is trying to make us think that's what the court is doing, because they've demonized the Supreme Court. You look at how they've just, like, when Brett Kavanaugh was trying to get on, look at how they just demonized the man and said he did all these bad things. And Heather, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, but the accuser, what was her name? Blasey Ford, she was on The View.
Oh, really?
She was on The View recently because she has a new book out that she's trying to sell. Christine Blasey Ford, she's trying to sell a book, a hawk a book. And what can I say? That she's had plastic surgery. She looks completely different. So we're going to have to relive this again. With, you know, what Brett Kavanaugh, and that he tried to rape her. And this happened almost 40 years ago. And speaking about, oh gosh, there's so much to talk about. I want to let you get in a second. Speaking about the Supreme Court, they're now, the left, they're now trying to get Justice Sonia Sotomayor to step down and retire. She's turning 70. So they want her out, because they're saying if she gets out, Biden can nominate a younger person. You know, and then because they're fearful that if Trump gets in, she'll step down or something might happen, and then he'll put in another conservative. So they're trying to boot her out, get her to step aside so that Biden could put someone else in. So what are your thoughts on everything that I just mentioned, from Blasey Ford to the Supreme Court? There's just so much.
Well, I mean, I have to say I've been a little bit pleasantly surprised with the Supreme Court in general, just when it came to you know, the ruling that Trump could not be blocked from the ballot, of course, it should go without saying, blocking people from the ballot in the name of democracy is completely absurd. But I feel like you can't take much for granted these days. So, you know, I was glad that some of the liberal, justices joined the conservatives on that one, and that they're, you know, ruling, I believe it was today, that the, you know, Texas governor could, enforce the boundaries as far as illegals in his state, you know, it's almost like the bar is pretty low, but, you know, when they do something that isn't complete partisan madness, you know, I'm glad to see that. And, you know, as far as the Christine Blasey Ford, God forgive me if the woman really was raped. I feel like there's absolutely no way to know the truth or not of something like that. It allegedly happened 30, 40 years ago. No physical evidence or corroboration. It's the same thing as with E. Jean Carroll. I mean, I'm not calling anybody a liar, but I don't believe that these cases would be being, you know, would not, I think they'd be getting thrown out if it was not for, you know, these being accusations against conservative men who a lot of people want to take down. So I don't see how there's any human possible way for anyone to know or to come toward any kind of proof beyond a reasonable doubt that any of this ever happened. And so that's just been my sense of it from the start. I mean, that said, I have a heart for anyone who's been through trauma, you know, and if they've been through trauma, I'm sorry for them. And, you know, but I think there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty and complete unknowability about these things.
Well, we got to remember that the case, we're just going back to the case of Blasey Ford and 40 years ago, what happened, she couldn't even name. She just picked his name out. She didn't know the date. There were a lot of discrepancy with what she was saying. Then we found out that her lawyers were only doing this so that they can scar Kavanaugh so that people would, you know, always think about, you know, he tried to stop abortion. And we also got to remember that Chuck Schumer even threatened him and said, you know, you have unleashed the Kraken and, you know, you're going to be, you're going to regret this and whatnot. Again, threatening the Supreme Court. And that just brings me back to Trump's case with E. Jean Carroll, that New York City changed the law before the strike of midnight, and I think it was 2022, so that she could bring this case forward. The law is about to expire. Now, talk about entrapment. Talk about trying to change things to go after your adversary. And the media sat back and allowed it to happen, said nothing about it, just like, oh, okay, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? You're changing the law to go after one person. And as I sit back and I watch all of this unfold, Heather, You don't have a judge to come out and say, we need to stop the madness. You don't have a lawyer challenging any of this, saying that this makes no sense. In fact, you have major law firms that are afraid to represent Trump out of fear that someone will go after them. Now, if this doesn't sound like communist China or Russia, what the heck does it sound like? And this is what our children are sitting back watching. Communist Russia. This is what our children are watching, made to believe that this is acceptable, that this is okay, and it's not acceptable. This should not be happening. Yeah. Someone should stand up. Someone should have the cojones to stand up and say, this has to stop. This is madness. This is not who we are as American citizens. As you mentioned about the border, letting people just come in. A country without border isn't a country at all. You don't see this happening in any other country. And people, oh, let them come in. We're all a bunch of immigrants. Okay, I'm tired of hearing that. We're a bunch of immigrants. And what do you mean? We have laws.
Yeah, and you know what, Rob, like we talked about last time, I mean, in the days of the great waves of immigration, there were such strict quotas. I mean, it was so sad. I mean, I, if somebody came in and they, you know, they did all the right things and filled out all the papers and had a sponsor and had a job lined up and they had an eye infection, they were sent back. I mean, you know, you could argue, I'd say that's overly harsh, you know, but I mean, now you don't have to do anything but just walk across. You could be anybody. I mean, when you think about the hardships endured by people who did this legally, you know, I mean, those immigrants of that time and the legal immigrants of today did not get a free ride. They had to fill out a lot of papers and follow a lot of rules and get exams and have a sponsor. And, you know, it wasn't easy. It isn't easy. And I'm not saying that we should just do that to be hard asses or something. But I mean, there were reasons. We didn't want to migrate problems into our country. That, you know, we wanted to help people and to help ourselves, but we couldn't, you know, you can't help people to your, at your own detriment. It's a very hard lesson that we, you know, those of us who are givers have to learn on an individual level. And that's not to be heartless. That's not to say that we should just go around not caring about anybody. No, you know, sometimes people need a hand up. Sometimes, you know, people are in truly desperate straits, and that's what the asylum program exists for. But I think that if we can be more selective about our boundaries, then we maybe, you know, God willing, we could really improve the asylum program and truly do more to help people who are the most desperate and aligned with our values. You know, I'd like to see us put our energies there. I think there's so much, you know, displaced and misused energy in our country. There are great needs. There are great needs to help people, including the mentally ill in this country, American citizens who roam the streets just unclothed, unfed, ranting, tortured. I mean, these are American citizens. You know, where is the massive effort to provide humane mental health care, you know, as opposed to just opening our doors to everybody from everywhere, including some decent people and criminals and chaos and drugs. I mean, it's not the way to help the world. You know, you have to help, you have to be givers, but you have to be smart too. You can't just willy-nilly, you know, provide help to everybody with absolutely no discernment, because then you're reducing your ability to really help, I think, the most truly desperate cases, including among our own citizens.
You're right. Well, folks, what can I say? We're all out of time. That will be the end of our show for tonight after Dr. Robin Andrew and the America Out Loud platform. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about Chuck Schumer and him putting a word knife in the back of Benjamin Netanyahu, one of our strongest and dearest allies, and also just a wrap-up of the news events that's taken place. Hope you'll come back and join us on tomorrow night. Until then, God bless. God be with you. God bless America. God save Israel. And we'll be back for another episode of After Dark with Robin Andrew. Good night. And as my dear friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. Thank you.